everybody. My name is Ellen. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ellen.
It's only one newcomer, so a lot of you have heard my story several times. And so I can't make it more interesting. It's the same story. But I always think it's funny. I mean, I'm 75. I came into this program when I was 28. So I have 5 minutes to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So it will be, for those of you who know what that is, my father used to call this a Reader's Digest version. I want to read something first, and it's from Voices of Recovery, and it's for February the 14th. And it says, the 12th step invites us to continue the journey one day at a time for the rest of our lives. We need to keep moving forward in recovery, keep developing our spiritual consciousness if we are to remain spiritually awake and fully alive. Through the practice of the 12 steps, I have been awakened spiritually, and by continuing to practice these principles throughout my day, I may remain free of the bondage to food. As it says in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I believe I have a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I'm truly grateful that a higher power has removed from me the obsession to eat and replaced it with the willingness to use the tools of this program, which enable me to live life on life's terms. I trust that no matter what happens in my life today, picking up the food will not take away the pain or make me feel better. I have come to realize that nothing happens in God's world by mistake. The best thing I can do today is get on with the next thing that's in front of me, and all things will pass. I mean, if that was just it, I mean, I could just, like, say, thank you very much. That's kind of it. That's sort of the whole program. So I'll tell you what it was like really briefly. Up until I came into this program, food, I grew up in a rather affluent family in Southern California, and food was my comfort from the time I can remember, as far back as I can remember. And I lived in a kind of world where it was sort of a fishbowl. So how you looked was what really mattered. It wasn't so much the kind of person you were or your principles or any of those things. It was much more how you look to the world outside, and always. And I was trying to be a good girl all those years. So, you know, the problem was that I was a compulsive eater, and one of the things that was really important to my mom was that I look good. And it's got to be more and more of a problem as I approached adolescence because of my compulsive eating. I was overweight. I was overweight the whole time I was growing up, but I'm tall, so, you know, it was relative. By the time I got into adolescence, it was becoming a problem. And my mother tried everything to fix me. You know, pills, shots, doctors. In those days, there were all kinds of things you could do to your body and take that would be remedies for this problem. You know, and I tried all kinds of diets and stuff. But mostly, you know, food served the purpose of being a comfort for me. It was a pretty kind of, you know, crazy life, and I was always very aware of adult behavior around me. So I was really sensitive to it, and but we weren't about to talk about, we couldn't talk about feelings or anything. And I was also in a very adult atmosphere. My father was in his late 50s when I was born. So, and my mother was in her early 30s. So there's a huge age difference between them. And I was in an adult environment a lot. My father, I was sort of the trophy daughter. So they took me to a lot of adult places. And because I couldn't really talk about my feelings, I developed an ulcer by the time I was about, you know, in second grade. My mother, her way of dealing with life was to fabricate stories. So she was very embarrassed about the fact that I had an ulcer. And so she told people that I'd been born with this problem and, you know, I'd get over it. And so I spent a year you know, on pureed food and, you know, all kinds of stuff to deal with that. I now really understand the origins of that, but, you know, it just tells me a lot about how much I was feeling that I couldn't express. Anyway, that's 5 minutes, right? So, okay, so I'm going to very much fast forward. By the time I left home when I was 18, I was not a very good student in high school, lots of mixed feelings, and I went off to college, but here in California, the first person that I met who was the only way I could rebel was in my head. And one of the ways I could rebel was trying to embrace the philosophy and thinking of people who were absolutely the opposite of what my parents embraced. So my hero was Lenny Bruce. For those of you who know who Lenny Bruce was, he's an outrageous, very profane comedian who went to jail for drug abuse, by the way. But that was my hero. I mean, I did not look up to movie stars and people like that. So that kind of tells you where I was. So the first person I met who was closest to like Lenny Bruce, that's who I married. And he is the father. He was. He passed away. He was the father of, I have two sons now, who are, I just laughed about this the other day. My oldest son is 56. I can't believe that. And my younger son is 53. So anyway, so I got married very young. I had my first son when I was 19. And I'm going to rapidly move forward to how I got to OA. So I'm in this marriage. I'm compulsively eating like crazy. I stopped weighing at 200 pounds. So I don't know how much I weighed at my top weight. And we got into a group therapy situation. And the therapist said, she wanted to see everybody individually. And when she met with me, she said, you eat like an alcoholic drinks. And that was the first time anybody had ever called me on this. And she didn't know about OA, but I had tried it once. And when I tried it once, in those days, OA was in its very embryonic stages. Roseanne was in some of the meetings that I went to, and it was just beginning. We had AA speakers who came and spoke at our meetings because we didn't have anybody in OA who had long-term abstinence. It was a new program. So I had gone to one meeting. The guy was an alcoholic. It was at a church. He was talking about God, and I just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. These people are totally crazy. But the one thing I remembered about that meeting was that there was this level of honesty at the meeting that I had never heard before, and I heard the term compulsive overeater, and I identified with that. So when this therapist said to me, you eat like an alcoholic drinks, I remembered OA, and I went back, and that was a year later. So that was when I was 28. So that was like around 1970. So, So I lost about 40 pounds the first year in program just by working the first step. I didn't believe in God. So I was not going to work the rest of the steps because I'd have to deal with this God issue, and I did not want to do that. So I was able, just by, you know, white-knuckling and dieting, to lose about 40 pounds. It was the first time in my adult life that I had ever been even relatively in the ballpark thin. And everything that I had been avoiding all those years came up. All of the issues around sexuality and physical attractiveness. My ex-husband was really jealous. It just brought up everything about my self-esteem, and I started to compulsively eat again and lie about it. And that went on for a while until finally I had a really terrible, terrible, the worst binge of all, and I called the woman who was my sponsor, and I just said, you know, I've been lying, I can't stop eating compulsively, and she said, okay, it's time to work the rest of the steps. So that's what we did. And fortunately, in those days, there was a lot of spiritual searching going on in this country. It was the early 70s. Thank you. So, you know, I finally found and embraced a higher power that I could, that felt, you know, like I could understand that. And I got abstinent again. So I'm going to move forward about a lot of years. So I stayed abstinent after I started working the steps again. And in the meantime, my ex-husband and I got divorced. I had two sons who were I was responsible for. And I met somebody else who was even more crazy than my first husband. And we got together and ultimately got married, and we moved to Northern California. And what was happening was that that relationship was, relationships have been the biggest problem in my life. So that relationship was becoming an even greater problem. And OA is the only place where I've ever been able to be completely honest about what's going on in my life. But I couldn't talk about this relationship because I was afraid that if I started talking about it, I was going to have to leave it. And I was really worried that how my kids and I would survive. And so it was very crazy. So I stopped coming to meetings. I started binging again. And I gained about 25 pounds, but it was an incredibly terrible bottom, the worst bottom. And because once you've been in OA for a while, I mean, you know, you don't lose that. You remember everything you've learned. But I couldn't get my abstinence back. But I did go to Al-Anon, and Al-Anon saved my life in terms of getting out of that relationship. And the person who sponsored me in Al-Anon said, okay, you need to go back to OA. And I did. And in 1980, I came back to OA. And in those days, if you had 30 days of abstinence, you were told you should be a food sponsor. And so at that meeting, there was somebody who was a newcomer, but she had 30 days of abstinence. And I went up to her after the meeting. I said nothing about my past. I just said, I need a sponsor. Will you sponsor me? She said yes. And that was the beginning of this abstinence. So I've been abstinent now for about 38 years. So what's it like today? How much time do I have left? Okay. Of course. I'll just tell you in 2 minutes and 21 seconds what it's like today. So I've been through a lot, obviously, since 1980. You know, I've been through brain cancer. I've been through heart surgery. I've been through lung cancer, you know, all kinds of stuff, relationships. And it's what I read when I first said all this to you. It's like, what has saved my life is this program, using the tools of this program, but it's the spiritual part of the program. Every single day, I have to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I cannot take for granted that tomorrow I will be abstinent. It doesn't work like that. In fact, I know it doesn't work like that because I tried it. And I found out the disease is really progressive. I want to say something about being at a healthy body weight. This is my latest, like, sort of obsession with talking about at meetings. You know, the definition of food plan is one thing. To have a food plan is something that you can change, and depending on your situation, whatever you need, whether it's losing or maintaining or whatever. But the definition of abstinence in OA is refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive eating behaviors while working toward or maintaining a healthy body weight. I cannot tell you how important I think it is to be at a healthy body weight. I didn't really confront the most major issues that I did until I got to my healthy body, normal weight. And it wasn't because I needed to be thin. It was because I needed to find out who I really was under all that armor. And I don't know about you, but for me, living in this body, living in what feels like my authentic self, has probably been one of the greatest gifts this program has ever given. It's been a way for me to get to know myself, and one of my themes has been throughout my time in OA is trying to be the best possible Ellen I can be. Thank you. So I just heard the bell go off. So I just really want to encourage everybody that if you can, that I think would be the most important thing. I'm going to read something that I read after I share all the time because it means so much to me. And then I'm going to stop. So this is from For Today, My Poor Raggedy Book. And it's page 206. And it says, I will probably never understand exactly what happened to me when I came to Overeaters Anonymous. I have no frame of reference for surrender or spiritual awakening. These events, which happen simultaneously, constitute by far the most beautiful experience of my life. The gifts placed before me in the wake of this experience are equally mysterious. I am unshakably abstinent. I go through all the ups and downs of my life without having to eat over anything. That in itself is miracle enough. But there's more. Each one of the promises of the Big Book is coming true. God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. It's all an incomparably beautiful mystery. And then it says, for today, I celebrate the miracle of my new life in OA. That's it. Thank you, everybody.
We will now pass the basket to observe the seventh tradition.